Blog Talk Radio.
Cindy Sansone Brapp, author of Grant Me a Higher Love and Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. I just love that. I just love that Blog Talk started playing. I'm going to start all over again, okay? Nicole, we'll just pretend Blog Talk Radio didn't put that music back on there. And you had to make me laugh because you were laughing. If you weren't laughing, I could have just been professional.
I really tried not to. I know it was like the middle of your monologue. I had to. We were just talking about technical difficulty before we went on the air. And then here I see the music is completely stopped, yet it's still playing. So.
All right. Well, I'm going to start over.
Who are you?
Cindy Sansone Brapp, author of Grant Me a Higher Love and Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole is a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and her war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole and those women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. How are you today?
Hi. How are you, Cindy?
Good. I mean, it's funny because it's been the day of, I don't know, technical difficulties. I had to Skype somebody today, and you know, I know my password and everything, you know, and I'm putting in it, so it's not my password. And I'm like, okay, I'll act like I lost it. And then I'm trying to get them to send me a text on my phone. It doesn't send me a text, won't do anything. So I just had to start a new whole Skype connect. I was like, okay, hell with this. I'm starting over again. But it was so funny. And meanwhile, I'm supposed to be scheduled to read that person, you know, like in 15 minutes. And I'm like, oh, I cannot believe this. But it's just sometimes, you know, the days are filled with technical stuff. And
I
wish we all knew how to fix it. You know what I mean? Sometimes you just don't know why it's broken, so how can you fix it when you don't know why it broke? You know?
Exactly. Sometimes but things just break regardless of how you feel about them.
Yes, of course. And, you know, it's so funny. I would like to manifest publicity for every once in a while. I don't know if you know this. So I'll tell God, well, it's time for publicity. I don't know how you're going to make this happen, but, you know, give me a little publicity. So
no,
I'm actually going to be featured in Reader's Digest, which has 40 million readers around the globe, as a psychic. So I thought that was
fantastic.
Isn't that great?
That is great.
And she's a lovely reporter. She was a lovely reporter and everything. And it just was like, made me really happy because I said, oh, I just asked for that last week. So that was pretty fast manifesting. So I'm glad about that one.
Yeah, seriously.
You know, I mean, it's like asking, you shall receive. And, you know, that it was just lovely to do it. And it's funny because certain places are very hard to break into. You know, they really are very hard.
Yep.
So.
They are.
So that was really good.
And that is a fantastic thing. Nobody deserves it more than you do.
Thank you, my darling. So we'll just have more people listening to our show, our radio show.
Hey, that works. That works for me. I like
that's
that.
What it's all about. And how now, do you remember last week? You have to remember last week when I was saying we have to get it colder. We're going to have very bad hurricanes and our Easters.
Yep.
Notice what we had this week.
Yep.
Notice that.
I saw that. I noticed that. You don't think I noticed that?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And so we have to pray for a little bit of cold. We got to get a little bit colder here. A little bit colder.
Well,
here
I'm just
so that
upset because, like, my snowboarding season is, like, withering away here. I should have been on that mountain at least two more times. I mean, and, like, they have, like, some snow there, but, like, with all the damn rain, I'm not skilled enough to deal with rain and snow on my damn weekend. So,
no,
and it's rain, like, every weekend, so.
Because of the ice, because when I went cross-country skiing in Vermont and all of a sudden it turned to ice, and it's hilly. Like cross-country skiing, I usually do flat, right? It was terrifying because all of a sudden I'm going like 90 miles an hour. Now, cross-country skiing is not regular skis. You cannot really stop that easily with them. They're not made for that. And I finally had to make a decision to go down on my butt. So, you know, and, you know, you don't know how hard you hit when you're going 20 miles an hour and you hit on your butt. But thank God I had my little snow pants on. I don't know how I didn't break things, I have to tell you.
You're talking to the person that broke her tailbone on a snowboard and her thumb on a snowboard.
Mm-hmm.
So you
know what I'm talking about. How I didn't break anything, I don't know. And I mean, it's either going to be my head or it's going to be my butt. So I did go, but that's why icy conditions and that kind is not good. You know, and it does turn if it wasn't icy when you're starting, it can turn while you're on there. So it's really scary. But we're going to be going to.
That's how I initially got hurt, was because we had gone on like the coldest day to go. And, you know, as soon as that sun started dipping behind that mountain and the temperature really, really started to drop, forget it. It was like I saw the block of ice that I hit after I fell when I broke my tailbone. And I saw stars. It was horrible.
Yeah, you
and
see the stars for sure.
I never. Oh, yeah. Stars, birds, everything.
It
was horrible.
It's frightening. It's frightening. Well,
it
we'll
was, but I'm glad that you didn't break anything.
No, it was a miracle. It really was a miracle looking back on it. I mean, I don't know how I didn't, but you know, there's those angels, I guess. But I had no idea.
Listen,
I'd never experienced it.
You had
never
somebody
experienced
looking out
going
over
that
you.
Fast.
That's all you needed to know.
And then what I did was took my skis off and started like walking down like through the snow and not, you know, where it's like snowy and ice. And TJ's going, I never saw anybody took their skis off. I go, well, now you see it. Because I am not, you know, I don't care how long it takes me to walk through this 10 feet snow, I'm doing it, you know.
You're doing it. I'm
doing it that way. But we are going to Chamonix in March, so you know, and there will be some cross country skiing there, hopefully, and skiing and whatever. So that's in France and Switzerland and Italy a little bit. So that will be fun.
Nice.
So. Those are the vacations that we all deserve a little vacation here and there, don't you think?
Yes, absolutely we do.
Now, we have a lot of listeners today, and there are three that have, you know, requested. So I pointed out the first one, and then the second
one that
will
we're going to start with.
And
go to the last
the
four digits
one.
For me so I can pull them into the chat room.
3329, and then it will be, let me just see here what the other number was. Okay, it would be 6928.
All right, then I will make sure that I pull those lovely people into the chat room while you take our first caller. So, caller, just so that you know we are speaking to you, we identify everybody by their last four digits. The last four digits of your number are 7034. So who is waiting for us there? I don't know. They're never, ever screened. Hopefully it's somebody normal so that I don't have to disconnect
them.
It's my friend. Okay, good. Hello, you are on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Fran. Yes, I knew you were normal because, you know, it's funny because if you go unscreened, you never know. Because we've had our show commandeered by, like, I don't know, crazies. And so we usually try to screen, but I already had screened you earlier. And I've read you before, so that makes it even better.
Yes, you did. You read me probably about 8 months ago.
Okay. And it's funny, you said you've been listening to the show, correct?
I've been listening just about people that can't commit, and just that's been going on with me for a year now. And I've been listening for the last 3 weeks, and that's all I've been hearing stories. And I finally, Christmas time, got rid of, you know, we decided not to talk, me and the guy I was hanging out with, because he cannot commit. I knew how he felt. And I was getting over it. And finally, Christmas time, he called me back about a month later to say, I miss you. You know, I just want to say Merry Christmas. And I let him back in. So finally, I told him how I felt, that I love him. He explained it to me. He did say he was hanging out with another girl. And I was a little hurt. And after I said that, I have not heard from him since. So I don't know why I just keep getting into relationships like this. You know, like my husband left me for a woman, and I just don't know why this behavior keeps coming into my life. I'm trying to get out of it.
Right. And again, part of it is, you know, when you're with a person who can't commit and they do the ghosting thing, they disappear and they come back, it's a pretty good evidence that usually people that are going to see other people cheat on other people, it's kind of the nature of them coming and going. And, you know, what we don't learn from our husband, by the way, if we don't learn the karmic lessons correctly, God keeps bringing
right.
similar men until we learn the lesson. And the lesson is you've got to trust your gut a little bit. And did your gut tell you not to take him back?
It did. It did.
Mm-hmm.
And now, but then I couldn't help it. I wanted to talk to him. It's just so hard. I'm trying to snap out of it because I feel like I know I deserve better, and I know it's out there. And it's like, and I know we were soulmates. Like, I felt that connection, and it was just so nice, but I can't waste my time anymore with it, you know. I feel
right,
like
of course.
Going into the same pattern. It's so frustrating. So that's what I was just wondering.
And part of it is now you might have become a closet commitment phobic yourself because you've your husband.
That's what I'm afraid
might...
that's happening.
Okay, so that's why we want to make sure that doesn't keep happening, because if we get afraid of love because we were in a committed relationship and somebody cheated on us or hurt us, then we could go into the mode of being a closet commitment phobic. Yes, we want love, but we're scared. And if
right.
we feel that way,
the guys
then
that
the
like
universe...
me, I don't like. You know, that's what
right.
I'm afraid
so,
of why I have that.
Right, and that's what and what happens is God will keep bringing you commitment phobics into your life until you realize I don't want this. And, you know, when you're not drawn to men who are attracted to you, it's like, you know, picture, if you keep chasing after a man who can't commit, well, then you could tell everybody, well, it's not my fault, he didn't commit. But he's the kind of man you know won't commit. He's made it plain and clear he's not going to commit. So why would you keep chasing after him? And then the nice men who are available, you're scared.
Right.
So you might want to examine that you are afraid of love. You've been hurt once. You're kind of scared to go there, but look, if you keep being like this, you're going to keep getting hurt because these are the kind of men who are going to gravitate to you, men who, you know, can't commit, think they can come and go as they please. And yes, you're right. You had a very strong soulmate connection with the man and that your last guy, and of course, that's why he got ran away. He got scared. I mean, soulmate love scares people. So, yeah, he ran away afraid.
But
I'm not saying
he met somebody else. He did tell me he met someone else. So do you think that was a lie?
Well, it looks like there's someone else here, but it's not a soulmate, by the way. And if you want to just meet some, if you want a narcissistic rung on the ladder of love, that interchangeable love, let's just give me a Tinder account and we'll swipe and you can have that for tonight, okay? Like, you
right.
can get a low-level love. Let's go to a bar. We'll find four of those in an hour. But, you know,
right.
he's not a higher love. He will not be granted another soulmate, by the way, because he's responsible for the ending of this one, not you. He's the one who
right.
screwed up. He's the one who's walked away. So when everybody gets really worried, I don't understand how these guys just find somebody else and they get another soulmate. I go, it's not a soulmate. You don't get another soulmate if you throw away the other one. Okay? If you're not responsible
oh.
for the ending of it, you'll be granted another one. I mean, he's got a lot
okay.
of unhealed issues. You tend to be drawn to the bad boys, and that's something that you're going to
mm-hmm.
have to, like, you know. And if we're drawn to bad boys or bad girls, it's our commitment issues because these people are never going to commit to us. It's also our belief that we could fix these people or change them. And I think
right.
you're going to have to understand you're not fixing a player. You're not changing them. Some of these patterns can go back to your own parents' marriage. What was your parents' marriage like?
My parents have a very good marriage, actually. They always did.
Okay, so good. So yours isn't even linked to like your parents. We can't even blame your parents on this one. They have a
no.
good marriage, and they've been committed. So you've seen – all right, so God's going to really ream you. You know what good love looks like. You've seen it.
I do. They're still together, and they're 80.
Well, isn't that – that's wonderful. But what happens
yeah.
is this pattern of fixing and picking bad boys is probably a past life then. I mean, God gave you parents who were soulmates and maintained it for you to see that that exists, and yet – you still seem to be drawn to men that you've had in past lives that couldn't commit, they cheated. I mean, your husband in your most recent past life, by the way, your ex-husband. And he
yeah.
cheated on you in that lifetime, and he pulled the same crap. But this time you
yeah.
thought, well, this I could fix him this time. And pretty much God laughs at you. Really? We don't know how to fix these son of a bitches in 10 more lifetimes. Knock yourself out. You're not fixing him. And so
right.
you keep
oh,
picking men who are narcissistic. Okay, it's about
then I got
them.
A drug addict. I picked a drug addict. I just don't know why this behavior. It's like it's scary.
Okay,
me.
Because you keep picking the stray cats that need fixing. Because your number one karmic lesson in coming back to Earth is to stop being a fixer. Okay, you got a little note from God. Do not come back here and tell me you could fix people. God does
right.
not know how to fix these people. He doesn't give up on anybody, God. People get wake-up calls every day. Fran comes into their life. Fran leaves. They go to rehab. They go to jail. They get this. They get that. They get a job. They lose it. These people wake up, unfixables, the narcissists who judge others, wake up when the gun's at their head, and then they're back to their bullshit. You keep picking the same kind of a person. They have a different face. They act a little different, a little different problem, but they're narcissists. They're manipulators. They're judgmental. It's never their fault. It's your fault. You're going to have to really meditate on the fact that you don't want to do any more fixing. Tell God, you know, you want a man who's healed, who doesn't need fixing. You want a man who's your equal. You don't want to be mommy to a drug addict that can't grow up. You know, you don't want to be with a man who can't commit and he calls all the shots and, you know, he can come and go as he pleases. I'm seeing with your most recent ex, he's going to resurface again, and I would pretty much tell you not to answer it at this point.
Okay. Okay.
Because he'll come back and forth. He's a true commitment phobic that'll come back and forth. Like, and because women have allowed the men to come and go, they think they can come and go. But as long as you keep the door open for him, the universe won't bring you another soulmate. So it's
okay.
Kind of, you have to close this one up. And
yeah, I really think I'm done. I really completely think I'm done, and I'm doing good. I've been talking to different guys. I'm like trying to just have a normal guy and see what happens, and I'm actually getting over him. So I was just wondering if he thought he was contacting me again, because I was hoping he would.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's because he will sense as you move on. He will also sense because soulmates are telepathic. He will know when you've met somebody else. He'll know when you're on that first date. He'll probably text you when you're on the first date. You'll be like laughing, like how the hell could he know this? And you know what you need to know is if they thought he was going to step up to the plate anytime soon, you wouldn't be granted another soulmate, or you wouldn't have found somebody else. That's good. So you know that he's going to resurface. He is, fooling around with some other woman, but, it's like a low level of love. That could last a month or two, and then he'll be back again.
Right.
And then he'll disappear again. And, you didn't come this far in liberation to have a man tell you you can come this close, not that close. You can be my booty call or whenever I want to see you. You can be in my life. Otherwise, don't come. It's really depressing to be supporting yourself, working hard, and have a man do that. It really isn't. Acceptable. I mean, we've come so far in liberation in terms of being able to work 24 hours a day, slavery. But when it comes to men and women, they're starting to call all the shots a lot. It's really kind of scary. So,
right.
And he's a person who thinks about you a lot. So sometimes you might even get a message telepathically from him. And you don't really have to stop loving him. It's kind of a waste of energy to try to stop loving a soulmate. You just don't like him anymore. You've fallen out of liking him. And, you can love him on a soul plane. You just can't put your body with him because that's how he's going to hurt you. And, I do see him resurfacing, by the way. And
okay, do you see anybody else coming towards me? Or
right, you're right. This is good. You need a little bit of standing on your own two feet without a man. Have you done that ever at all?
I've been trying this last year. Last 2 years I've been on my own, not in a relationship.
Good, good, because that's when the prince comes. We have to be able to stand on our own two feet without a man. Go about like you're doing. Did you meet this guy in a dating site, by the way?
Mm-hmm. I did.
Okay, pretty much if you're going to meet men on the dating sites, you got to have a pretty good understanding that 9 out of 10 of them are commitment phobics. So don't be surprised if you keep meeting them online and they're keep being commitment phobic. Just try to, eliminate it sooner than later. Like if, tell a man from the first date, I'm old-fashioned, I don't sleep with people or sleeping with other people, I don't want drama, I don't want disease. So if you want to be with me, be with only me. Plain up in the, and now if he sounds like he's telling you, yeah, sure. He's telling you everything you want to hear, but your gut's telling you he's lying. Trust your gut. Okay. And don't think you're going to change a man. If he says, I'm not looking for a relationship, stop thinking you're going to change him. You're going
to
be so phenomenal. He's going
to
fall for you. He's going to change his evil ways because of you. Give up that notion. If he's telling you he doesn't want commitment, don't try to sell what he doesn't, you know, sell him what he doesn't want to buy. And so online, be just careful. And, you know, just know that it's hard to meet people, you know, otherwise. So sometimes, you know, the online dating for a lot of people is like pretty much the only way they can meet someone. But you might want to look at your profile. Does it say you're looking for commitment?
No. It says I'm actually I'm looking for my best friend. Maybe I worded it.
Okay.
I worded it different.
What I would say, if you're looking for commitment, that has to be in there. You know, I'm looking for commitment. You know, commitment phobes need not apply. I'm, you know, I want to commit a relationship. So that it's said right from the start. And this way, you know, they can't say, well, that's not what you said in your profile. I know with, like, some of the dating sites, they say, oh, be casual, don't be this. You know, I'm a dating expert. I will tell you this, do not be casual. If you want a real relationship, state it right away.
Okay.
And that will eliminate a lot of the players to begin with and draw someone to you. And choose the words carefully, how you're going to say it, but you're looking for a committed relationship, a real relationship. You know, your best friend and a lover companion, you know. But put it however you want to word it, but don't just look like it's casual at all. Because you're getting the wrong kinds of men answering your profile. So, and pretty much if you have one date with a man, you have a right to say, you know, if he wants to see you again, well, if you want to see me, then I have my rules. Like, you have to go off the dating site. You have to see only me. And if you're not willing to do that, then I don't want to do this game because, you know, love can't grow without commitment and trust. And I'm not going to trust you if you're dating other people, if you're still on the dating light. So if he goes, well, that's kind of pretty much. Get rid of him. You're a good catch. A man should want to say, oh, man, Fran wants to be with me and only me for a while. Like, wow, I got a chance here. Well, this is great. Like, people who want commitment aren't afraid when you talk that way. People who don't want commitment, they'll run. But let them run. You know, if you're only looking for fun and game, any of our listeners out there, then it's fine. You don't have to tell people this. But if you want a committed relationship, then you can't hide that. You got to put that right out, right in the from the start, who you are, and believe that you're a good catch, and that any man should want to commit to you. And that's the difference. And you know, women tend to let men call the shots. They really can't be calling all the shots. And I'm not telling you to be a bitch about it. It's just, you know, be very nice about it, but the point is, this is me. And my clients that are sticking with these rules are having committed relationships, by the way. It's working.
Wow, okay.
So, I mean, anything I preach or teach, it's either work for me or I see it working for my clients. And that's why, I have thousands of clients. I see what's working and what's not. And so, you know, again, examine that you've been afraid and examine that now is your year you're looking for committed love. And I do see him coming. He's a really good guy, by the way.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
So thanks for calling in. And you can, you know, please let me know if you need me again.
I
That's
will.
What we're here for on Thursday night.
All right. Thanks,
Bye.
Cindy. Bye.
Bye. Okay, so now Nicole, tell us about the next one who we're speaking to.
We are going to be speaking to Kim in Florida. And Kim has got two questions for you, Cindy. Number one, of course, like everybody else, they want to know what is going to happen with my love life in 2017. So that's Kim's first question. And the second question is, she is in a job right now. She kind of doesn't want to be in that job right now. So do you see any career changes for her coming in about May or so? So those are Kim's two questions, let's see what she has to say for herself, shall we?
Sure.
Hello, Kim, you are on the air.
Hey, how are you, Cindy?
Good, Kimmy. So you've ended it with the commitment phobic guy that couldn't step up to the plate, your soulmate that couldn't step to the plate. Is that over now?
It is. He's still in my life, but we are not together. So it's okay.
How is he still in your life?
Well, he does owe me money, and so he's been coming by every week to drop off money every week that he owes me, and we're just friends, and it's perfect. I did meet someone mid-December, awesome guy, 44 my age, unlike the other one that was 28, so I'm moving up in the world here. It's been about 5 weeks, and the first couple of dates, he was moving very quick, and he said, let's just do us, you know, let's just not date anyone else. And I thought it was kind of quick, but I committed because I really liked him. He, you know, opens the car door. He never lets me pay for anything. He owns his own business. He's building his own boat. He camps like I camp. We have so much in common. We can talk for hours. So out of curiosity, the past week, I know he's under a lot of stress, but I still don't think stress can push someone away. You know, he's the one that approached me to be his girlfriend on the third date, which I thought was awesome. And I really, really like him, but it's been, things have changed a little bit in the last week. Again, I know he's under stress, but I just feel like he pulled away a little bit. And I let him know that, and he won't admit that he's pulling away. So I'm just curious, did he commit too soon? You know, do you see, he's a great guy. He's exactly what I want. I was just curious, does it look good for us? I just don't want to go through what I went with the other one. And I want to, if I'm going to get hurt, I'll pull out now.
Okay. So funny the way that, you know, the men all do the same stuff. They, you know, they can come on strong. And when you meet somebody who's got a very strong soul connection, you know, the love is so strong, you know, you just want to commit in the beginning. And then, you know, a month, 2-3 months into the relationship, fears kick in. And he's starting to get afraid. Now, how often were you seeing him when you first met him in December and beginning part of January?
Yeah, well, we met 3 times, and then I went to New York for the holidays. But our conversations in the texts were unbelievably great. So we saw each other Christmas Eve, and we saw each other Christmas Day, and then I didn't see him for a week, and then I came home, and the next day he saw me. He lived an hour away from me, which is, could be a good thing or a bad thing. First, I thought it was a good thing, and then we wanted to see each other more, and we really couldn't. He has an adopted 20-year-old daughter that he's also lives with him full-time, and then, you know, I have my 3 kids. So we were seeing each other twice a week, and then I went away the last 2 weekends to his campground and camped out over there with everybody. So we were seeing each other, you know, I guess, you know, maybe 4 to 5 days, you know, of the week, which, you know, which was good, I think, from living an hour apart.
Right, excellent, right.
So.
And then?
So this past week, I noticed that instead of seeing me, like, when we normally would see each other on a Wednesday, it went to Thursday, and it was great. He took me out to dinner, we hung out, and then, you know, he left at 12 to go home. I thought he was going to spend the night since he lived so far. And he didn't. And then Friday night, he said he was going to come see me. And then an hour and a half later, I never heard from him again. And he said he ran into a friend. And, I mean, to me, throw me a bone. Let me know either you're coming or not after, like, 20 minutes or something, especially when you live an hour away. So I was kind of feeling weird there. And then Saturday, it was, you know, he worked on his boat. He's been working on this boat for 3 years. I mean, it's an amazing catamaran boat that he's building. And it's so stressful, and I get it. And I was supposed to go see him Saturday night, and I had told him I was drinking. Would you mind coming to me instead of me going to you? And he said yes when I'm done. But I didn't hear from him until like 7:30 at night. And when you live so far, nevertheless, you're kind of reaching out to figure out what's going on. And he said that he couldn't come after he committed, but he never told me. So then I got annoyed. And then Sunday, I thought I was going to see him, and I didn't see him. And so I just feel like I'm being pushed away. And I don't know.
Let's take some responsibility for something you did wrong. If you're supposed to be traveling to see him, don't drink. Okay? Because he travels to see you, and it's kind of wasn't right if he's going to be working on his boat
all
day.
You are right.
So I'm going to call you on that. Okay? Because if you knew
you
were irresponsible – and what you did. If you knew it was your turn to drive to him and, you know, so look, it's 2 hours there and back, whatever, and he's working on his boat all day. When you work on the boat,
right,
you're hot, you're tired. He just wants to take a shower. You can come over, whatever. So, you know, in that instance, you were wrong there. But it looks to me like he's definitely pulling away now. And, you know, maybe he's tired of the driving back and forth. Does he do most of that driving back and forth? to
see
you? He
did. He never wanted me to drive there. He's so nice. He's like, no, I'm going to give you, one time I went, he's like, I'm going to give you gas money. And I'm like, I don't need gas money. And I mean, a lot of the time it was just, he was coming to me when I had my kids, and it was just, yeah, I mean, I was willing to go, you know, and I wasn't drunk. I had said to him, he's got a bad leg. So he was on it all day. And I just figured at the end of the day, he's not going to want to go walk around a fair. And I asked him, and if he would have told me no at 4:30, I would have totally put down the drink and went to him. But he already told me, no problem, I'll come. So he kind of committed to that. Now, he's a very nice guy. Maybe he just told me what I wanted to hear. And then after 3 or 4 hours, he was just didn't know how to say what maybe he wanted to really say. I don't know. But
right.
So
what's going on here is it – and no, it looks like – you know, he's starting to pull away. You know, maybe he's getting scared. Maybe it's too much for him. Maybe he's tired, you know. But if I were you, I would, you know, be a little bit patient with him, see what unfolds in the next week or two. But at that point, you might, you know, tell him how you feel. Is this like maybe he only wants to see you 2 days a week. Maybe it's too much, the traveling back and forth. I mean, you can understand that. But, you know, it seems more of a disconnect in the way it's happening. Like, you know, come when he was supposed to see you and he was like ran into a friend and forgot about you, that's not a good sign. Okay, it's kind of irresponsible. I mean, I never do that. If I know I have to be somewhere, I always know where I have to be. Okay,
yeah,
I don't lose track of time. And it just shows a little bit of taking you for granted perhaps, or putting you to the back burner. And, you know, what I'm seeing is just he's getting a little bit scared. Remember, love is always
scared
the first month is great, and then the fears kick in and whatever.
Scared of what?
Well, a little bit scared of the commitment, you know, scared of, you know, maybe this is the real deal. You know, a higher love scares people. They have to heal issues, start surfacing in them. You know, I'm seeing he cares about you, and, you know, he is a nice guy, but... you know, in some ways he's a people pleaser, and, you know, when you're a people pleaser, sometimes the other end of it is you get annoyed after a while when you have to always people please, and then you do a passive-aggressive act like, you know, forget that I have to come to see you and, you know, don't call me about it. You know, you have to just talk to him, you know, that I'm not getting a great vibe, maybe, you know, what's going on. You know, don't ignore it. The worst thing you could do is pretend it's not. Don't be mad about it. Don't get angry at him.
Well, is he mad at me right now? I feel like he is, but he won't say it.
Right, because he's the kind of person who stuffs down anger. Okay, he doesn't express it. So what's happening is, you know, he's acting like he's a nice guy, and that's his stick. Let me be let me be a nice guy. And, you know, he doesn't know how to say what he means, mean what he says without being mean about it, so he doesn't say anything. So you might, you know, just say to him, are you annoyed that I didn't come to you that day, that I didn't drive, or are you annoyed that you're traveling so far back and forth? You know, what's going on? Just ask him. And if he says nothing, I'm just tired, whatever. Again, it's funny how the first month or two or three when women are with men or whatever, they just say, oh, you know, they have all the time for you in the world. And then all of a sudden they're too tired. You know, it's a little bit, it's not a good, great sign in it. And I'm not seeing that he's not into you or anything like that. So it's just more like, I think you better get better communication going. Like, don't just get mad at people. That's an easy emotion. You just get mad. And then that starts the destruction of a relationship. It's more not, you're not angry. Maybe you can be, express you were hurt about it.
Yeah.
You know, don't let every emotion be anger. I'm angry you did this to me. Well, you're not really angry. You're hurt. You're disappointed.
Right.
You were worried. Talk, if you're just going to come from a place of I'm angry at men or anybody, you're going to get them very defensive. And it's already going to start being, this isn't, you know, you should still be on your honeymoon phase. Okay, there shouldn't be any fighting at this point. And, you know, and if there is a disagreement, you know, say what you mean what you say without being mean about it. And, you know, nip it in the bud. I mean, I'm not seeing that he's tired of you or any of that yet, but, you know, it looks like he's giving some signs that he is pulling away. And, you know, maybe you've got to just address it with him. And, you know, you don't want it, what happened with the other guy where they start coming and going and pulling back. And, you know, again, he is a nice guy, but maybe he's feeling like he's doing all the giving and you're not. I don't know. You've got to ask him.
Yeah.
You know, if he
do you see that this could be a future? Does it, I mean, do you see that he's, do you think that we're going to break up? I don't, I'm just, what do you see?
I'm not seeing that you're necessarily going to break up anytime soon. How did you meet him, by the way?
Online.
Okay, again, this online dating has certain built-in problems with it, okay? And, you know, sometimes when someone is an hour away, sometimes they want to be that far away because it can control how often you see each other and stuff like that. I mean, in his case, he just didn't seem to let it bother him and he came forward. But the online dating thing seems to be that people are close for a month or two and then they just, like, it starts dissolving. So, you know, you might want to address this to him. Like, we were so close and now what's going on? When you meet somebody online, like, you know, the first three months are really crucial because if, you know, these are some red flags here already that you're not communicating well. So if you don't want this relationship to end, you're going to have to communicate better with him and address the issue and tell, look, I'm starting to feel like you're not that into me anymore, or, you know, you're mad at me. So, you know, what is it?
Yeah, I felt like Thursday night we had fun, and then that Friday I didn't get the phone call, and it kind of really annoyed me. And he said he was sorry because he didn't get back to me sooner. Of course, I didn't want to see him Friday night. So it kind of started Friday night. So I don't really think Saturday night was the stir of the pot. But I had told him that I would come to him if he didn't want to come to me. But again, people pleaser, he did what he, I guess he felt that I wanted to hear. But it kind of annoyed me at the end of the night because then we didn't want to see each other because we live far. But like even like last weekend, we had such a good weekend. He's talking about going to Key West. You know, in July, I mean, he was talking future, and then all of a sudden, I don't know. And he told me that an hour drive for him is not a big deal. I mean, I'm just blown that this whole thing just, like, he pulled away on Friday and acted like it was no big deal, although he apologized, but, you know, I don't know.
He might have been a passive-aggressive act. He was really pissed that he had to drive. Okay, he was tired, maybe he didn't feel like driving, and he's not expressing that. So, you know, yeah, with easygoing people, you have to be careful because they are easygoing, but then it all builds up. So, you know, you might just want to, you know, address, like, if you're supposed to drive to him, don't say, now I'm not driving. Okay, don't do that.
Right.
I mean, you said you were going to drive, just drive. I mean, he didn't do that to you, and then, you know, suddenly he's thinking, well, if it's okay for her to say, I'm not going to drive to you, whatever. It's going to be starting some resentment on his part.
Yeah.
And, you know, and you don't want that.
You think, if I apologize, he'll like, forgive me and we could move forward and get back to normal?
Right.
It looks like you
got to say you're sorry and move forward. Again, it's only a new relationship. The first 3 months will determine if this is going to go anywhere or not go anywhere. And you can't worry about it. You can't worry about this, the forever guy. You got to take it one day at a time when you have a new relationship. Like, let's just see one day at a time. I'm not thinking about July. I'm not thinking about next year. I'm not thinking about, am I marrying him? Think about, are we going to get through the first 3 to 6 months?
Okay.
Get through the first 3 to 6 months. You know, there's a chance in hell you can make it. But these are very crucial how you handle these things. And communication is, you know, supreme. Apologize for him that you should have driven. Because, you know, I would have interpreted you're being pretty selfish. I've been driving to you back and forth, and now you decide you want to drink so you can't come driving to me. It would have shown to me that you're not very considerate of me, is how I would have interpreted it. And I'm like him. I'm pretty easygoing, by the way. So I just would have said, if I've been driving to you all this time, you should have been, like, you know, pretty happy to drive to me and not said, well, can you come to me now? So, you know, and it's not a big deal one way or the other. The whole thing is not a big deal. This should not be a deal breaker, you know what I mean, in a relationship. But just take it one day at a time, you know, apologize, ask him if it's bothered you or if anything's bothering him.
Well, for Monday night, I had asked him, did you want me to drive to come see you Tuesday, because he's been working on this boat to get it to where it needs to go to the next person, to like the bimini, the awning on the boat, all that kind of stuff. And he tells me I have one more day of craziness and then I'm free. So basically he was telling me, no, don't come see him, which I got offended. So then I had asked him, you know, I'm not really feeling like you want me to be your girlfriend anymore over the last 3 days. And he, that was 3 minutes after his last text, and he never responded. Like he didn't.
And you haven't heard from
yes.
him since?
No, I've heard from him, but he never responded to the question.
Okay, again, you're being a little demanding. The guy's working on his boat for 3 days, and you're busting his balls. Okay, that's how I would have interpreted it. Like,
okay.
You know, he just said, I'm working on my boat and I'm tired. I mean, if he kept saying this, like, you know, for months or weeks, then I'd say, you know, something's fishy. But, you know, that day he just, you know, he's out in the heat. He's working on the boat. He's exhausted. And he just wanted to get the boat done and not have to worry about you. You almost put him under pressure.
Yeah.
And it's a new relationship. And, you know, it's only one day. And with the hour distance, it's almost, you know, hard for you to see each other every day or something like that. But it seems like he didn't know what to respond to that because you were sounding like a bitch. Okay. And
mm-hmm.
you might want to figure out how to word things, but, you know, you can't take it because one day he doesn't want to see you because now it's almost you're so paranoid from the last guy that you're almost hyper-vigilant about, you know what I'm saying? Like now it's like hyper-vigilant. The other guy, you gave him too much of this leeway when he was pulling away. You kept making excuses for him and you believed him. Now this one, you're going almost the other extreme, pouncing on him. So you might want to step back with that. Because I'm sure he didn't respond because he didn't want to get mad. He didn't want to say, you know, you're being a bitch, or he didn't want to start a fight. So he didn't say anything. But what he really wanted to say is, you're not being very fair to me, but nice people, good to a fault people, don't know how to say things because they want people to like them. So, you know, he didn't know how to say, you know, I think you're like, you know, you're not really being very fair to me. I'm exhausted. I'm tired. And it's not really fair what you're doing. It's not. He doesn't know how to say that. So he said nothing, and he really didn't want to start a fight, and he didn't assert himself. So, you know, you're going to have to go a little bit gentler with him, or you might lose him, this guy.
Yeah.
You know, nice guys don't want to be pounced on.
You think I'm already losing him?
No, I think you can. I think you could backtrack and just say, you know, I'm sorry. I think I, you know, overreacted, you know, to the situation. And leave it be. And if this is enough to make him run away, then, well, you didn't do anything horrible, but I'm just saying you might want to be aware that you've only known him a month. You don't own him. And you're almost acting like you own him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's too soon for you to put that kind of pressure on somebody. It really is too soon. And, you know, as far as your job goes, it looks like you will get another one coming up pretty soon. So,
do you think I'm going to change careers? Or do you think I'm going to... stay in child care, or do you think I'm going to change careers? I'm kind of over the whole teaching thing, although I have a friend that's offering me some kind of position. She's in New York. As a matter of fact, she's the one that – Cam Gopher, she's the one that Tanakis gave me your number. She's in a business with mother and child daycare – not daycare, mother and child program, and she's opening up some stuff in Florida. I was wondering if I'm going to head in her direction and help her out down here, or do you think I might just get out of the whole early childhood?
Uh-oh.
What's that?
Are you still there, Kim?
Yes, I am.
Okay, it looks like Cindy just got lost. Her call has just dropped. You're there, but she's not.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. I hate it when this happens because that means that I have to hold the fort down. And I have no idea what to say at this particular moment, so I hope everybody's enjoying this. All right. Let me try to get Cindy back. All right. And hopefully she can answer your question.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm back.
Cindy,
okay.
Are you there?
Yes. And we sit with Kim? Or with Abby.
Don't
now.
Do that to me again. Yes,
Kim,
we have
okay.
Kim, and then we have Abby coming up. So.
Okay, but I just said, you know, with Kim, we can only ask her really one question per, like, listener, so because we have to get to another listener, because otherwise I get notes, I get emails,
okay.
Not pleasant. So you can call in another time, and we'll answer your question.
All righty, honey. Thank you so
okay,
much for
bye.
Everything.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
you know, Nicole, we try to follow protocol of, you know.
Oh, I know. I know.
I mean, I got an email. One
question.
Well, you
know what?
Huh?
I mean, and you always do your best to, like, if they do have, like, two small questions, you always do your best to try to get both of them. But unfortunately, we spent so much time on her first question that there was no chance that we could get to the second one anyway.
Right. Exactly. So I just try to tell people I have to be careful because we're sort of, like, got to get to as many listeners as we possibly can.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So
and,
we do have about
we
15
hit,
minutes
before
left.
Before
we What's
hit
that?
Abby, I'm just going to hit this beautiful girl right here, the 9162. Hello.
Mm-hmm.
Is this my beautiful daughter listening?
Yes.
Oh, God, you look beautiful in the picture that your dad sent me today. I can't believe my daughter's here. I'm like, oh, I feel like a celebrity. My daughter is listening.
Oh.
I love her so much. And,
yeah, hi. I was wondering if you saw me. I couldn't listen on – I usually listen on Facebook, and it wasn't working, so I just figured I'll call in.
No, so it wasn't working on Facebook. We've had nothing but glitches on the show tonight, so we're kind of laughing.
Is Mercury in retrograde?
I don't think so, but I think Blog Talk is.
Right, yeah.
It has
you don't need Mercury in retrograde. Blog Talk in retrograde is just as bad.
How are you doing today, Shauna?
I'm good. I'm just on my way home from yoga. So
okay, and she looks so beautiful because Shauna's going to become a yoga instructor, and she looks beautiful.
Nice.
She's got the body to kill for now from this yoga.
Oh,
so,
thank you.
And she looks gorgeous.
I take after my mom.
Oh, thanks. I was just so happy to see you're listening, and we're going to
I'm like, oh, no, she's going to put me on the spot.
No, we just want to say hello to you. And,
hello.
And anyway, we're going to move over to Abby. She's
I'm enjoying the show. It's always very enlightening.
Okay, especially since, you know, I'm always telling the same thing to everybody about these men in commitment. You know, that's my, like, flag I wave all day long everywhere.
I know. I know all about it.
Well, good luck to you, darling, and we're going to pick up Abby.
Okay, bye.
Bye. I've never actually seen her number, so I just had to do that. And I mean, I was like, oh,
awesome.
I know she listens to our show, by the way, which is great, don't
Does
you
she?
Think? Yeah, she
That's
listens.
Fantastic.
She's a regular listener. She's a regular
That's
listener.
That's always
so.
Good. That's always
I know,
good.
So, I mean,
I haven't seen her like forever in a day, so I'm glad to see and hear for myself that she's doing splendid. That's awesome.
Yeah, she's doing really
Shauna.
Great. And it's so funny because It's like, it wouldn't matter who else listened to the show, but I'm like, my daughter's listening. It's like I hit Lotto.
And that gives you the butterflies, right? You're good at everywhere else, but you see your daughter and that's it.
Well, because Shauna's very brilliant.
Like a true mommy.
Yeah, she really is so smart. So the fact she likes our show makes me happy. I feel like we made it in the Nielsen ratings today.
Aw. Hey, so Shauna, if you're still listening, please keep listening to your mom.
Okay, so we
give her that little ego boost that she needs.
And we do have Abby, who we love. And
we do.
You remember Abby,
yes.
Of course. And
I
Abby
was
is
telling Abby in the chat room that the transformation from when she first started calling till now is absolutely unbelievable. You know, absolutely unbelievable. She's come such a long way.
And we just love her, and she's friends with my cousin's daughter, Jennifer. And so.
Aww.
I have a special place in my heart for Abby. So we're going to put Abby on the air.
We are. Yep. And Abby wants to know about her love life in 2017. Cindy, it's been 5 years. She's due.
Wow.
Hi,
Hello,
Cindy.
Abby.
Hi,
you are
Abby.
On the air.
Hello.
All right. So it's been 5 years. Now, we know relationships or lack of them tend to work in 5-year cycles. So I know you had this soulmate guy at work, but, you know, he's been kind of slow to, you know, move forward with his life. Are you kind of closing the door on that at this point?
Yes, I definitely have put that basically out of my mind and, you know, put that to rest. So.
Okay, good, because, you know, we got to give people a certain amount of time, but if they can't move their life forward, you know, in closing that door, it's important because then the universe will bring you another soulmate. If you kind of keep the door open, then they hesitate to bring you a love. And, you know, career-wise looks very good for you, by the way, just coming up first. Your career looks good. And, yeah, in terms of love, are you doing anything to find anybody?
Oh, I'm sorry. I couldn't hear what you just said. Could you repeat that again?
In terms of love, are you doing anything to find someone?
I, I did kind of what you had said, and since the last time we've talked, I have been volunteering, so I have been a lot more outgoing, and I've been doing a lot of volunteer work and volunteering, and I've been a lot more social, so I have been putting myself out there that way, but I definitely don't want to do the online dating, so that, especially with my job, that's not really an option for me, so...
Right.
I have been making a lot of improvements and doing things like you had suggested with improving, I guess, and doing some things like for myself, you know, to make me feel better about myself also. So I have been trying in those aspects, but I
Good.
Feel like...
Are you making some new friends? Because I know, you know, you had to
yes.
move and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you are?
Yes, I have. I have been making a lot more friends, and I have been a lot more social. So I have met a lot of new people, and I have been a lot more social than I have been in the past probably 5 years. So
wow.
it has been very good.
Good, and that's what I'm seeing, that just keep doing what you're doing, and that's how
mm-hmm.
you can meet this man. You know, he looks like he might be a friend of one of the people that, you know, the newer friends that you have. So if they have a party or they have an event, just don't hesitate to go there. And, you know, it looks like you're going to meet him. When is your birthday? You don't have to tell me the year, just the month and the day.
September 20th.
Okay, good. So you're kind of halfway through your new year. So it looks like, because your new year goes from one birthday to the next, looks like you could meet him in the next 6 months, like really be in a relationship. You just need a little bit of courage. You're a little bit afraid. So the universe is kind of hearing a little bit of fear still coming from
mm-hmm.
you. You know, you've been hurt. You picked the prince that became the beast, your ex-husband, and he really is a beast. He continues to be a beast. And, you know, I think you're a little afraid of your judgment. But, you know, the man you were drawn to at work was a good quality man. Even though he couldn't move his life forward or he didn't know what he wanted, he was a nice man. So you're starting to, like, know you want a nice man. Have you written down what your ideal soulmate would be like, by the way?
I'm actually looking at my list right now. I have it in front of me.
Okay, can you, like, read some of them for us? Like,
Yeah, I have it. I have protective, loyal, patient. I have family-oriented, loves animals, respectful. Got a long list.
Good choices. Because they're all positive words. Like, you can't say, I don't
mm-hmm.
want a drunk. You would have to say strong and sober, okay? If you say the don't word, the universe doesn't hear don't, and they'll bring you a drunk. So, and with your traits, you know, a lot of them are what you're like. And if you have traits like loyal and hardworking or whatever, then, you know, people have to be that trait. So if there's anything on the list that you have that maybe, you know, you're a little deficient in, which nothing that you read so far was, but just say if you want someone who's in good shape. Well, then you have to make sure you're in good shape. Do you know what I mean? Like, whatever
mm-hmm.
you want in a person, you have to do as well. And that's a very good list. You want him to be a man who is going to appreciate who you are and, you know, what you have to offer. And this is a really, you have really good cards in terms of career. I mean, there isn't any negative cards coming up in your cards. And if you remember when I first started reading you years ago, oh, boy, we had to sort through a lot of negative stuff. And now we're on the positive. You also had to stand on your own 2 feet without a man, and you've done it. You know, as hard as it was, and you had to get yourself strong, because you never want to be. Women are very vulnerable if they can't stand on their own 2 feet. That's when you tend to get involved with a prince that becomes the beast. They come on like a rescuer, and the next second, you know, they're persecuting you, and you're a victim of them. So you're not in a state where any man's going to rescue you. You don't need rescuing at this point. So that's when the prince really comes. And what I can see here, he's smart, too. He's hardworking. A little bit old-fashioned, kind of. You know, he's not a player. He likes being in a committed relationship. So, you know, you're ready for it. I think you're in agreement. You're really, really ready for it. I think you had to make some peace with your dad when we talked about whatever you had to do to make peace with him, too.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All these issues had to be resolved, and all your ducks are in a row. you know, you want to be in a nice soulmate relationship, because when your children return, which they will, at least one of them, you want to show a better version of love. So this is important that you get this soulmate going. And, you know, I hope you're keeping your door open for those children to reenter. Are you?
Most definitely. I definitely want a relationship with my children.
And, you know, their father cannot keep them away from you indefinitely. They do grow up, you know, they do get older. And if you have this, like, happy relationship and this happy home, it'll be something that'll be welcoming for them. And
yes.
So for your children, because they do not see a good version of love. Their father appears to have someone, but it's not great. So they really need to see a soulmate love, and you're the only one who's going to be able to show that to them. So this is coming. So I'm not worried about you at all. You have really excellent cards. Keep making those friends the way you're doing. You remember, Nicole and I were always telling you, you're such a nice person and so easy to like. And you had been so battered from everything you went through with during your divorce that you forgot about that, who you were. And now you're coming back to that woman who's intelligent and well-spoken. And you're so successful at your job. So you should feel really good about yourself right now, do you?
I do. I definitely feel the person that I was before, you know, coming back. So, yes, I definitely do feel like myself again. So thank you very much for all the positive reinforcement. It does mean a lot to me. So
we see
you.
It, and you have a lot of courage. And we just love your call. So you're going to have to call when you find your soulmate, or before that anytime. But just let us know when he manifests, because everyone loves to hear those stories of, you know, how what was told comes true, and, you know, gives all of our listeners hope that, oh, life does change for the better sometimes. And certainly,
I most definitely will.
Well, good luck to you, and please call in again. And if you see my Jennifer, say hello to her. If you speak to her, say hello to her for me.
I most definitely will. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye.
Now, Nicole, tonight's show was kind of interesting. We had a little bit of everybody, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
And did you notice how much Abby is just like just this beacon of love, ready for that to come to her way?
What I love about Abby is a couple things. A, I love the fact that she has transformed herself just the way that she has. I mean, I remember that there were some weeks, Cindy, where I would see that Abby or was on the line, that I would, you know, pick her up. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm like, you know, like, and I would feel bad. I would feel so bad for what she was going through. And then when we had to give her those times that we had to give her some really, really tough messages and tough love. I mean, I had to lay the smack down on Abby at one point where I was like, what the hell are you doing? You know, it's like, and I just felt so bad. And she was just so undeserving of a lot of that, you know, but she was taking it. And I felt horrible. And then slowly but surely, she started making little improvement by little improvement. And then all of those little improvements became a bigger improvement. And now, you know, she is a completely, completely different person from the Abby that I knew from when we first started doing this show. So I love that about Abby. And the second thing I love about Abby is the fact that now she is in this place where she wants love. She is in this place where she's looking for it, and she's putting the right messages out there. But more than anything, she's not saying, hey, I haven't been in a relationship with 5 years. I need love in my life. She's saying, you know what? I needed that 5 years to find myself, and I'm ready for it now to be in my life. And those are two very different messages. You know,
exactly.
It's not like, hey, it's about time. It's my turn. It's, you know what? I needed that time. I have found myself. I have healed my issues. And when it comes, I'm ready for it. And I love that.
Me too. And it's true. You can't, you know, sometimes I do readings and people are screaming at me, why don't I have love? Why isn't he here? Like, I'm not God here. You know, I'm doing my best. Don't scream at me, please.
No.
You know, we're doing our best to bring love your way. But, of course,
nobody can bring love your way. You got to bring love your way. So whatever you're putting out there is going to happen. You can't ask for love and say, hey, there's nobody out there for me. Well, you're manifesting nobody out there for you if that's the case.
Exactly. And so I'm so glad that we had all our listeners today. I'm very happy that I got to speak to Shauna for a minute. And,
absolutely.
I hope with Kimmy, she knows she took it with, the spirit I meant to give it to her. But, we can't, in a new relationship, come on too forceful too soon because you might scare people off.
You know what? And I was going to jump in there, Cindy, because I saw that you were struggling with the tough love. I saw that you were struggling, and just as I was about to jump in on you, you came out and you said what the tough message was. I wanted to tell her myself that if that were me, if I were in that relationship and it's 1 month and you're like, oh, my God, what's the matter? You don't want me to be your girlfriend anymore? I would be like, this girl is nuts.
Yeah,
Is, what are we in high school that, we have to officially say that we're boyfriend and girlfriend and we have to, we're trying each other on right now. We're getting to know each other. We're dating. We're having a good time. Why are you ruining it with making every single situation a life or death situation? I would have been creeped out if that were me and that was being done to me. I would have been totally, totally spooked. So I wanted to say that to her, and then you put her right in check. So congratulations to you, Cindy.
Well, it was just that I was like, let me be fair to this guy. He's a nice guy.
we got to cut this guy some slack.
He's a good one. I saw the cards. He's a good guy. I'm like, okay, so why would a good guy do something that might seem mean or whatever? It's because he doesn't know how to say it.
It's when somebody seems like a stage 5 stalker and you don't know what you're dealing with, then that could definitely be somewhat of a deterrent, I would say. If you're dating somebody and things are going great, and then all of a sudden they start going, what's the matter? What's the matter? What's the matter? Why don't you want to see me? Do you want to come to me? Why don't you? Are you mad at me? Are you not mad at me? And you start freaking out. I would have been like, I can't have this in my life right now. I can't have drama, and this looks, it's, and I'm sure that, I'm sure that Kim did not mean it to be that way, but in being too much, it could very much come off that way.
Exactly. And so that was, I think, for any of our listeners, if you're kind of struggling, don't pounce on a new relationship. Try to give it a little space, a little bit.
Hey, listen, there's nothing wrong with saying what you want, but just know how to say it.
Exactly. And again, it's, being committed doesn't mean if, I'm tired, I can't come see you and you're going to yell at me.
Being committed doesn't mean up each other's asses. It just means, hey, listen, I won't be up anybody else's ass if I do go up somebody's ass. That's all that means.
Exactly.
Oh,
we're at the end of our show,
people.
And we will all speak next week. And thank you so much, Nicole, for another great
show, Cindy.
Helping with all the technical difficulties.
Well, next time I'm going to prepare something to say because I was like, and she's gone, and I hate it when this happens. So next time I'll prepare a little bit better.
I was just saying, you don't know what I was saying. I was saying if I keep letting her ask 2 questions and keep her on too long, Blog Talk Radio is going to pull the plug, and then it cut off,
Oh, yeah, and then it cut out. I was like, son of a bitch.
Uh-huh, so I guess, a little message from Blog Talk, pay attention to what we tell you. Well, good night now, everybody. We'll speak next week.
Good night.
Bye.
All.